Welcome back to episode 3 of The Merge Feast for season 46 of Survivor. I'm Blake, joined here with Logan and Brandon. Welcome back, guys.
How's it going?
What up?
Well, I know for those of you listening outside of Kansas City, we had a pretty rough storm here on Wednesday night, and so technically the last about 15 to 20 minutes of the show got taken over by the news. So we had to go back and watch the following day. And so for those of you that may have missed it, I'll just kind of a quick recap of what happened. So halfway through the episode, correct me if I'm wrong on any of this, guys, but halfway through the episode, Randon from NAMI had an issue where he woke up and his hand was numb. Just no feeling, couldn't really grip anything, and was a bit concerning. Got checked out by medical. They thought it was just a pinched nerve. Turns out, ended up sitting out of the challenge, and as they continued to keep an eye on it, they were concerned about a possible bulging disc. And so at the very end, they made the call, Jeff made the call to remove him from the game so that he could get an MRI and make sure that it wasn't something serious. And so with that being said, they did not end up going to tribal council, which was kind of a sigh of relief for Yanu. So that, kind of a crazy ending to what could have been kind of an interesting tribal council, but we can dive into kind of the ins and outs of all that, but wanted to give everybody a recap of how the episode actually ended for those of you that didn't get to see it or haven't caught it just yet. So probably should have said spoiler alert before I said all that, but yeah. So what'd you guys think of the ending?
Yeah, I hated the ending for the fact that Randon had to get evac'd out. You never obviously want to see that. I think for Yanu, obviously, was a big sigh of relief and a break that they absolutely needed. So I think all in all, like Jeff said, one person's downfall is the other person's kind of gain or happy point. So obviously happy for Yanu, but hate it for Randon. So what about you, Brandon?
Yeah, obviously you never want to see anybody get medically evacuated, because obviously that player is leaving with no control of their own. I do something that my wife and I were talking about was, why doesn't Survivor, because I think in maybe Blake and Logan, you'll know this better than I do, but what I don't understand is, like, when they pull somebody from the game, they're done, right? So what I wish Survivor would do is, like, if they're going to get somebody checked out, like Randon in this situation, get him checked out, and, like, let's say that the MRI comes back clear and, like, he starts to feel better, and it's within, like, a 24-hour period, why can't they re-enter the game?
Yeah, it's a good question, and I've actually thought about that myself. A couple thoughts there. One, the fact that they use that as the person going home and don't continue to move forward with tribal. I think just making that call, just deciding it beforehand, hey, no matter what, if somebody has to leave the game for whatever reason, that's just how we're going to play it. I also wonder how close
a hospital is.
Like, I'm sure they're not flying all the way back to the States, because at the very end of the episode, it seemed like the MRI came back fine and he had full control of his hand again and there wasn't an issue. So I was kind of disappointed that they wouldn't bring him back in the game, but Yeah, I don't think they've ever brought somebody back, right?
No, they haven't. And I think, like, if they're gonna pull somebody from the game and that's like the person that gets voted out that game, like, what they could do is if they feel like there's a chance that that player could re-enter, they could just say, you know what, no tribal tonight. And then down the line, they can just do two tribal councils in one episode. It's not like they haven't done that before to make up for that player that didn't get voted out. So I feel like, and maybe it's Big Brother or a different show that has like this 24-hour rule. If somebody has to go to medical or has to be pulled for medical reasons, to where if they come back before tribal or the eviction or whatever, like, I don't know. I think it's something that it's probably not worth looking at since they haven't even changed it in 46 seasons, but just a thought that I had while that was happening.
Yeah, and I guess that's part of the survivor mentality and just the concept of the game that, hey, you couldn't survive. I mean, physically, it looked like he couldn't, you know, couldn't survive the game based on the rules that are laid out. But I don't know. I'll be curious to see if they bring him back, just like how they brought back Bruce last season after, you know, whatever that was. I'll be curious to see if they give him another shot because he seemed to be playing well. Everybody, like, I liked him. So I don't know. I'll be curious.
The only reason I don't know if they bring him back, I feel like the main reason they brought Bruce back was he got injured like first day, first thing, like hardly even there, where Randon's had, what, 7 days of playing of the game. That's what? I don't know. I mean,
it's a quarter of the way, quarter of the season, basically.
That's true.
So, I mean, that's quite a bit more gameplay. So in that case, I don't feel like they bring him back just because of that reasoning. But
yeah, that makes sense. I am on that note, though, I am ready for a kind of a mix up. I feel like for a while we had all winners. We had just gimmick is not the right word, but like it wasn't just random people thrown out there. I mean, I guess it was, but you had a couple past players come back, or I'm trying to think of
the 30 seasons.
Yeah.
30 through 40, they were just like they were returnee players all throughout those seasons, yeah.
And there was just always something like heroes versus villains or, you know, whatever it may be.
The theme of the season.
Yeah, I think I'm kind of ready for something like that to be introduced. I definitely don't want to go back to always having a returning person because I think that gets a little old pretty quickly. But I'm ready for something like that, even if it's, okay, here's, you know, second chances kind of a deal. Like some of the people on one of the three tribes are people that got evac'd. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, and they've done something like that before, and it's like fared pretty well. And like I would be, the only thing like that concerns me is like you mentioned heroes versus villains, which is like arguably one of the three best seasons. Like mm-hmm. I don't know if we'll ever see that again, just based off of what Jeff said in whatever interview that was, where he doesn't even want villains. So I don't know if they're just trying to shy away from the theme and maybe even like stereotypes or archetypes in general and just having the game be the game.
Yeah, that's true. And I like the fact that it seems like anybody has the ability to go on there. It's not like they're picking people from past seasons or you've got to have a connection to somebody from the past seasons to get on the show. So it makes it feel more obtainable for the normal average person to get on the show. But I don't know.
Which we've seen is both good and bad.
Absolutely. We'll talk about that. So, well, let's kind of hop back to the beginning. And I'm sure we'll come back to the ending and dive into this a little more. But this kind of picked up pretty much right where we left off talking about last episode. Going back to Yanu, and I was thinking as last episode, this episode, I was really curious if they are on the same beach as Lulu. And I know they continue to use the same beaches. I mean, typically, because I remember Bruce saying something about that when he went back to one of the camps and he was like, oh my gosh, this, I didn't realize that that was going to be the same camp. I think it'd be interesting to know if Yanu and Lulu from last season were at the same camp, because they're both losing everything right now. But it kind of picks up where, you know, they're trying to coach up Banu, and but he just, you know, does not seem to be able to lie about anything. He just breaking down, emotional, and I just became, you just continued to think like he's got to make a turn. Otherwise, there is no shot he's going to last, or people will just keep him around because, you know, he's a goat that you carry to the end that nobody thinks is actually playing a great game. But it's just paranoid about everything. And yeah, a lot of my notes talk about Banu, so I know we're going to talk about Banu a lot, but I don't know. I was just curious what you guys thought about all that.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I think he needs to make a change and adjust his gameplay. I think we're starting to see Q kind of take him under his wing and kind of coach Banu slowly and trying to get him to understand either how to play or just to earn his trust. Like you talked, he's going to be a loyal person, a vote that you can take all the way to as long as you need him. And so I think in that side of the thing, if Q can continue that relationship there could be really, really good. And I think you saw Banu start to realize how much or how well other people in the game are actually playing. So he obviously was starting to freak out and started kind of looking for the idol and all. So you could kind of see a little bit of a switch there, like, oh my gosh, people are legit playing. But I think we still need to see more.
I don't know if I want to see more.
That's true.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I really, really like Q.
Mm-hmm.
There was a part in this episode that I didn't like, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But for the most part, I really enjoy Q. And I just kind of thought there at the end that, you know, I see what he's trying to do. And I see the potential in Banu, but I think that might be to Q's detriment.
Well, Q called Banu his Philip, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't think that anybody bringing Banu in the game along with them is going to be beneficial. I think it's going to hurt them. Because Banu just really, I mean, he doesn't know strategy. He doesn't understand how to play the game. Like, he literally went and spilled all of the beans to other tribes on a journey, which obviously we'll get to later. But I don't know. It's just, he just does not seem like a player that you want to attach yourself to.
Yeah, my only thought was because if we're talking about, I mean, it really comes down to, with Yanu, it comes down to Banu versus Kinsey and how Q and Tiffany don't really trust Kinsey. Just her ability to flip and just how social she's playing and just not really trusting that she's going to stick with them into the merge. So there's potential downside on both options. I think the only way I could see it working with Banu is not necessarily keeping him to the end, but keeping him into the merge for at least a vote or two and then cutting him loose just to like use him to get the numbers, because I do think he would be more loyal than Kinsey. But taking him to the end just does not seem like an option and a successful strategy.
Yeah. And I wonder if that's kind of where Q's thinking. Obviously we're seeing him take him under his wing, but he's got to know there's got to be a limit of how far he can take him. And right now, knowing how well Kinsey's playing, it's an easy vote to be on Q's side to get Kinsey out. And clearly we could kind of see that was starting to work, and that conversation they had with Tiffany and all of that. I think, and obviously we don't know that, but I wonder if that's where he was kind of thinking of like, okay, let's get past this point in the game, secure us better in the merge once we get there, and then have to cut him at that point. But
yeah,
I don't know. I guess we'll never know.
I think Kinsey was 100% getting voted out.
I do, yeah, too.
So too.
Especially the way Tiffany and Bonnie were kind of talking there at the end.
Yeah, I think she was going to be gone. And it's one of those things, like, I see, like, Q's playing the long game, and we've talked about it. Like, you got to make it to the merge before you can, you know, play post-merge game. And let's say that Kinsey gets voted out, or whoever gets voted out. Like, odds are probably looking at another tribe swap, similar to how it went down last season, right?
Yeah.
For sure. So. Yeah. Well, and now with Randy getting evacuated or getting pulled, I guess, I kind of wonder if they will swap tribes or, you know, switch anything up. But I'm kind of thinking maybe not next episode.
Yeah, probably not now. Probably not anymore, unless it just like the next, that would probably be like 3 episodes from now if that were to happen.
Yeah. I did think that Banu's description of Kinsey was amazing. The mermaid and a dragon. The way he explained that, I was cracking up. It was so funny.
When he first said it, I was so confused. I was like, what are you talking about? And then, like you said, as he explained it, was honestly quite interesting, but quite funny.
Yeah, it seemed like a pretty accurate description of what we've seen of Kinsey. She's your friend, but she'll be ready to strike when you're not looking.
Yeah, and I don't know, just last thing I'll say about Kinsey, I don't know why I find myself rooting against her. It may be just Bonnie's pulling at my heartstrings, but I don't know.
I was actually thinking about that earlier today with the Yanu tribe in general. Because, like, if we look back at last season with Lulu, like, even the players that quit, like Hannah and Sean and almost Brandon, like, they were still likable. Like, we didn't dislike any of those players.
Mm-hmm.
Just some of the gameplay that we've seen from the Yanu tribe, as far like just last week, how they handled Jess, mm-hmm. like I just left like a weird taste in my mouth. So like it's kind of hard to root for people, and it's easy to honestly root for their downfall. I know that's like terrible, but just based off how they've kind of conducted themselves on the island to this point, there's really not much. There's nothing really worth rooting for, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'm hoping they'll be able to turn that around a little bit, get a couple wins under their belt, build some camaraderie, you know, get to the merge a little bit, and I don't know, turn it around. Because I think I could really like all of them, but I think you're right. I think the couple moves that we've seen them make in regards to Jess as a great example. You know, did just kind of sit bad. So one thing I wanted to talk about is the Beware advantage. and Jin on Sega found that. And I don't know about you guys, but there was a line when she was reading that that kind of foreshadowed something. And Logan, you and I talked about it today, but when she was reading that, one question that I've had in the past is, especially with this advantage, because you lose your vote until you lose your vote at the next tribal unless you find the advantage, right? Or the clue once you lose.
Correct.
Yeah.
My question is, what happens if they don't lose? And that's a tribe aspect. So how, what happens once the merge happens? So the line in there that Jin read was, further instructions will come if you don't, basically once you make the merge without losing, or something along that line. And I meant to write it down and I didn't. But that question's come up a couple times, even in past seasons, and I don't remember ever hearing anything like that, which pretty much told me they're not going to lose until the merge, or until they swap tribes or something. Like, she is not going to lose. So I'm thinking that that's going to come into play, because otherwise they would have just cut that line out, right? Or am I overthinking that?
I would think so, unless she just, unless it was just worded weird. I'd have to go back and listen to it.
Yeah, and I think the wording there was, if the tribe never loses, there will be further instructions on like what's next. And I think, I'm curious if the other note said that, but they didn't read that far, if she was just read more in like all of it, or how that played out, or if both of them read that and then they just cut that out when they edited it, but didn't for her. I don't know. I think it'll be interesting to see of, if that happens, what, how will that play out?
Well, if that's the case and that's what she said, and we didn't hear either of the other two tribes say that, I believe that you would be correct. And her tribe isn't going to lose until, or they're not going to lose before the merge. That makes a ton of sense.
Well, and yeah, and maybe it's, you know, I don't know the word I'm looking for, but kind of a distraction, or maybe a decoy, and maybe Nami's not going to lose. But the fact that they've said that makes me think somebody is going to get to a point where their tribe doesn't lose, and that's going to come into play somehow. So, again, maybe I'm completely overthinking it, but I kind of hope that happens, because that would make things pretty interesting.
Yeah, I would. I mean, we've, like you said, we've had questions about, well, what if they don't lose? We've had that, and it has never come into play. So yeah, I'd love to see Jim have to try and navigate that situation post merge while still not having a vote.
For sure. I did like that she found it and not Charlie. I know he was right there, and I like Charlie, but he seems to be in a pretty good spot with everybody. So I like the fact that Jen found it. I think that might shake things up a little bit. I hate when one person kind of runs away with all the advantages, and they're in the big alliance, and they're, you know, this and this and this. So I like that Jen found it.
Real quick, before we're kind of anything else, obviously talking about advantages, one thing we didn't talk about was, obviously Randon getting evac'd, he actually did have an advantage. So I'm assuming that'll go back into play then, since he left with that.
I'd be curious if it somehow ended up in Venus's hands, because she knew about it.
Yeah. But
yeah, I would imagine if, for whatever reason, that she doesn't have it and he left with it in his pocket, then yeah, I would just go back into play as if it never happened.
Yeah.
But I kind of hope that Venus has it, just because she clearly seems to be on the outs with the Nami tribe. But hey, we may not know.
It's true. What do you guys think about Hunter? They highlighted him quite a bit this episode, from being the provider to being super resourceful and building himself like a little hammock type thing. That was awesome. And then it went into his like love for the puzzles and a story about teaching instead of being a doctor. But the amount of puzzles in his house reminded me of, what's his name?
He's a Carson 2.0.
Yeah.
I think that's cool.
Yeah, I think it's impressive that he had all of that, and his story was really cool, and like what he was, why he made the change, and through that process, it was cool to see that, because we hadn't seen much from him yet, but definitely a really cool story.
I don't know what Venus's beef with him was. He's just out on the island vibing. She's like, I see right through it.
Yeah, that I left that little clip thinking, like, dang, Hunter may be the one to beat out here. And he comes off as this, like, I'm just here to provide and chill and vibe. But, you know, he's physical, he's strong, and sounds like he's incredibly sharp.
Yeah, definitely going to be a player to watch. And I don't think anybody had him on their radar, which I think is clearly how he wants it, so it's working.
Absolutely.
Let's see here. Challenge time. Brandon, you want to walk us through the challenge again?
Sure. I did not take any notes on what step by step were, but I'll give it my best here. So, typical Survivor obstacle course team challenge, this time starting in the water, swimming from one platform, going to another platform, having to jump, climb up some, basically some stairs, jump off those stairs back into the water. And then you got to what was a barrel essentially in the water that spun, and you had to get all of your teammates over the barrel. And then, is this where they got on land and had to dig, right?
Yeah, so they climbed up like a rope net, jumped off that, and then dug in the sand for the sandbags.
Right, the sandbags that they then had to land on five platforms, correct?
I believe so,
yeah.
And, I mean, this was an awesome challenge if you guys want to get into it. Specifically the barrel, where they all had to hoist each other over.
Awesome. Man. Did you guys catch how Hunter got over?
Yes.
Genius. I was like, that was smart.
He was the last one, and when they pulled Venus over, he just held on to her legs, and they just pulled him right over with him. Just used that momentum, which I thought, dang, they could have done that from the second person on, like that would have been awesome. But I thought it was a super cool little challenge, and it wasn't easy. People definitely struggled with it, and I don't remember seeing anything like that ever. So that was a cool little twist. I see what I did there.
Yeah, no, I enjoyed it. I loved, you know, typical team obstacle challenge, but with the water element, definitely shaking it up a little bit. And with, you know, not to stick on the barrel aspect of it, but like one of the more difficult challenges, and really all of the challenges have been fairly physical and really relying on teamwork this season, so been happy to see that. And then didn't have to deal with the puzzle, which I'm not anti-puzzle, but it's nice to have a little bit of a break from that. this time, and we had rewards at stake as well, which remind me what it was.
That was the tarp and the tools, nails, that kind of thing.
That's right.
And the winning team got like a larger tarp, more tools, more things, and then the second place team still obviously got a tarp, but it was a little bit smaller and then less tools and all.
Yeah. I started off so excited for this challenge, and I really enjoyed the challenge, but excited for Yanu because they got off to an incredible start. And then they get to throw in the sandbags on the little platforms. And every team struggled with it, but it was just embarrassing. I mean, it was so bad.
Yeah, it was tough to see because, as you said, Yanu was in a position to take at least second and just couldn't get it done at the end there. I think Hunter took over because, actually, this is the first time that the Nami tribe was looking like they might lose, right? Mm-hmm. And then Hunter came in with the bags and just took care of business.
Yeah, that, and we can talk about this in a minute once we're done with the challenge, but, and Q took that one rough. I mean, that was, that ended up showing a side of Q that I was not a fan of.
Yeah, he took it hard, and even Tiffany was like, dude, you gotta stop with the self-deprecating. It's all good.
Yeah, I hated to see that side of him, and I think just the competitive nature of his and emotions being kind of all over, tired, whatever the case may be, just got to him. But I'm glad that Tiffany kind of talked him straight and got him out of his headspace and all. But before we kind of jump too far ahead, I know right after the challenge, they had the I guess you could say the journey that the winning team got to choose three people to go on. So one from their own team and one from each of the other teams. So I don't know. Do you guys want to kind of go over that now?
Yep.
Yeah, let's do it. So who won? Nami won and selected Liz from their own tribe. And then it sounded like Liz picked who she wanted to go with. So she chose Ben from Sega. He's the rocking guy. And then Banu, which I thought was a good pick for her. Just a
smart pick.
Yeah, try and mix things up, and clearly he's on the bottom and trying to get info, that kind of thing. So, and obviously that worked out, but basically they go on the journey and they all talk for a while, and we'll talk about that, but then they draw rocks, and there is one white rock, two blue rocks. If you draw the white rock, you go back to camp. And you do not have the opportunity to win an advantage, but you also don't lose your vote. Blue rocks have a chance to win an advantage. Unless I missed it, they did not say what that advantage is, which I would assume would be an idol, could be an extra vote. Not really sure. And unfortunately, we don't get to see what that advantage is because both Ben and Banu, who drew the blue rocks, did the challenge and did not complete it. Liz is the one who drew the white rock. She went back to camp. That challenge seemed difficult. I don't know what you guys thought about it, but definitely easier than some, but still not easy.
It basically just had to build a cube out of like Tetris shaped blocks, right?
Correct. Yeah, it's like one of those just classic brain teasers.
Yeah, I definitely think it was attainable, but definitely difficult, but definitely attainable.
Yeah, there's not been a lot of success on the journey puzzles the last couple seasons. And I think it's just like the pressure of you have the time, you're timed, you have, you know, no food, no sleep. There's just a lot of different elements into why I think players are struggling with these types of things.
Sure. But either way, whether they get the advantage or not, it still mixes up the game, because it creates so much just doubt and question around camp. So I definitely still like it, but I'm with you. There for a while, it seemed like anybody who went on the journey got an advantage. And now it seems like anybody who goes on the journey is not getting an advantage.
And loses their vote.
Right. That's what's tricky now, is it's like all or nothing. And in this case, they didn't really have an option. It was fate. I mean, an option to participate or not. So I don't know. I like it. I wish there were a couple more people get them, but we're only three episodes in. So
yeah. What'd you guys think of obviously Banu spilling beans? Like everybody, I mean, we all expected it, but
yeah.
I guess you guys go ahead. Sorry.
This was kind of like I have not really been a Banu fan through the season. I wanted to like him, but this is kind of where I was done, because he kind of had that breakdown, starts kind of weeping, crying, and then just spills everything. And that's just, well, obviously one of the worst things you can do as a player, because information, knowledge is power in Survivor, and he just gave away all of the info and the tea that was going on in Yanu. And Liz and Ben, like, they knew exactly what they were doing. We're like, oh, we're not even going to say anything, and nobody's going to think anything of it.
Yeah, super smart on their part. And I think obviously the biggest issue with Banu is he's so in the moment and can't think ahead. And obviously Survivor is a crazy game, so you never know what's going to happen. He was so caught up in he was going home that he, I guess, didn't care what he kind of released and was open about. And I mean, he's been that way all along, but
I think he's just bad at the game. I don't know if he had even the thought of, I'm going home, so I don't care. I think he's just not good.
Yeah,
I'm with you. And I keep saying that he's emotional, and I don't know that that's the best word. I think a better word for the good things and the bad things is passion. He has got so much passion for the game, but he becomes so passionate and it just overflows where he just can't stop himself. He just wants to talk and spill everything and tell the truth. And it's just all of his energy comes out in that excitement. So,
yeah. What did you guys think of when they all got back to camp and that side of kind of how they presented what happened on the journey?
I thought the way that that Ben handled it was believable. I don't think anybody questioned it. He basically said he won't know whether or not he beat the puzzle until tribal, right?
Right, and I honestly feel like that was pretty dang genius.
Thought so too, because haven't they done something like that where you don't know if you've gotten the advantage or not until a certain point?
Yeah,
I don't remember what season that was, but
I think they've done it where, yeah, you just go to the voting booth and they're like, you either lost your vote or here's your idol or extra vote or whatever.
I thought that was genius, because it's honestly believable
for sure.
And even Banu, because Banu didn't tell the truth either.
Which I was so proud of him for. I thought, oh man, this is the chance. They're going to get Kinsey out. Heck yes, he can finally lie.
And I think they bought it. Obviously, Banu turned around and told Q, like, yeah, it didn't go well. But I don't think anybody questioned it. I think they expected Banu to come home empty-handed. In fact, I think they hoped that that was going to be the case. So,
yeah.
Oh, man. That guy.
I did think it was interesting timing that when Tiffany was sitting down with Banu, and right as she said, "I haven't decided to write your name down," Jeff walked up. I was like, yep. That was strategic right there.
Yeah.
So,
did you guys pick up on what, or what do you guys think of that? Obviously, throughout that conversation, it seemed like they were all fairly happy. It almost seemed like to me that Q was disappointed that they weren't going to tribal. And I think he had a reason to be, because the way that he expected the vote to go with voting Kinsey out and getting her out of the game. Did you guys pick up on that at all?
Yeah, he was the only one that really seemed not excited about the news. Because I think he felt like he had done the legwork that he needed to do to get the Kinsey vote. And obviously, like, now all of that is lost and he's probably going to have to start over now.
Right. But I think also with how he was feeling and just like how he didn't live up to the moment, I kind of wondered how much of that was him like in his feels a little bit and showing his emotion without showing emotion on just like, man, I know, like I'm happy that we don't have to vote somebody out, but like, I just imagine if that was me and how that must feel, and kind of thinking about it from that perspective, or probably a combination of both, but that's kind of how I saw it. But now that you guys said what you did, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Yanu definitely. I mean, they really dodged a bullet depending on who you ask in that tribe tonight.
But yeah, I do like the fact that, I would have been okay with, honestly, Banu or Kinsey going home, but I was not thrilled about them mixing up tribes already. So I am excited that it sounds like that'll stay together for at least another week or two.
Absolutely.
Yeah. The last thing that I thought was really cool for both Banu and Tiffany, but hers kind of came in then at the end. But Banu kept saying that he had prayed multiple times for just God to show himself, or, you know, almost questioning God kind of a deal. But just like, hey, like, I really need you right now. Like, come in. And you can think whatever you want about any of that, but it was kind of cool for like him to share that multiple times, Banu did, and then for that to happen, I was like, okay, maybe God's not like too big for something like that. Like, I don't know, it was just a cool moment for me.
God's a Survivor fan.
Hey, why not?
You heard it here first.
What else we got?
We want to kind of jump into Survivor of the Week, or was there anything else that we wanted to touch on first?
That was all I had. I'm ready for Survivor of the Week. What do you have, Brandon?
I did. The only thing I wanted to discuss real quick was the scenes for the next episode, if you guys caught that.
Ooh, yes.
Two things that stuck out to me. One was Banu saying, what did he say? Like, I think I said something wrong. And the other one that stuck out was Tevin wanting to go after Soda, which are both, like, Banu saying something wrong doesn't surprise me, but Tevin and Soda seemed like they were kind of tight. So be interesting to see what that's about. So I'm excited for next week's episode, but if you guys don't have anything, I'm ready to jump into Survivor of the Week.
Yeah, no, I think the Banu, I messed up. 100% has to be about him spilling the beans. And part of me was like, I wonder if he'll say anything. I should have known he can't keep his mouth shut, so he was going to say something. And then the Tevin thing, I think it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. So
yeah, that kind of makes me wonder if Nami is potentially going to tribal next episode, because you know, if they're highlighting that as a, you know, a point for next week, might be a little bit of a sign that they might lose. So be curious to see that. Last thing I had was Survivor of the Week. I don't know if you guys have thought about that or have somebody, but
let's do it.
Brandon, I don't think you've gone first in a minute, so you want to take this one?
Sure. So I had a couple of different ones that I thought were interesting, and this week my pick is going to be, it's actually going to be Liz.
Oh,
the Nami tribe. And Liz is quite honestly somebody that I have found a little bit annoying for the first two seasons, but whenever she went on the journey, she picked honestly the perfect people as far as like picking Banu is concerned, but she knew exactly what she was doing when they were talking on the beach about what's going on. She didn't have to say much. She knew that Banu was going to spill all of the tea on Yanu. And I think, as I said earlier in the episode, like, knowledge and information is so important to your success in this game. So Liz having an understanding of what's going on at least the Yanu tribe, I think could potentially bode really well for her later in the game should she get there. So that's why Liz is my Survivor of the Week.
I like it.
Interesting pick.
Mm-hmm. I will go next, if you're good with that, Blake.
That's fine. Don't do it. Don't pick my guy. Or girl.
Well, for me this week, I was kind of a weird, I didn't have like one person that like really, really stood out to me. Like, oh, this person was like highlighted the most other than Banu. And I think for me, I'm going to pick Q for this week. For the reasoning behind of the upside that I see with him, you can obviously see he's starting or trying to play a strategic game. It kind of fell apart with the evacuation of Randon, but you could clearly see he's here to play. He's kind of taken Banu under his wing to get some votes and play strategically. So for me, that's why I'm picking Q.
Good pick. I decided to go with Hunter. So Hunter was one that, you know, I kind of had my eye on from episode one. And just, I thought something about this guy, I think he may be around a while or could be one of my favorites. But this week, he really jumped up the ladder for me. I mean, showed his strength, both physically in the challenge, mentally in the challenge, how he's providing for the tribe. I thought not the most like pivotal moment this week around him, but man, in my eyes, his stock went up significantly this week.
I like that pick, honestly.
Yeah, he was on my short list, so yeah, I'm a fan of that pick as well.
Oh. Well, do you guys have anything else?
I got nothing.
I'm out of it.
Brandon, where can everybody find us?
You can find us wherever you listen to your podcasts: Spotify, Apple, Google, iHeart, Pocket Cast. I could keep naming places, but wherever you find your podcasts is where you'll find us. Most recently, you can find us on YouTube. All audio versions of the Merge Feast are available to listen to on YouTube, if that's how you prefer to consume your podcasts.
Absolutely. Hit subscribe. You know, give us a follow, give us a rating. I'd love to hear what you guys think of this week. And can't wait to be back here next week with you guys. Say goodbye, Logan.
Goodbye, Logan.